You're listening to the Riverfront Church broadcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideas, and more.
Hello, everyone. We are live on the streets of the city of Wilmington. Market Street is vibrant this night. Lots of color, lots of people, lots of sounds, and a little cool and windy. Kidding. But this is Edwin Estevez. I'm Pastor Edwin, and we're with...
I'm Pastor Emma.
And we have a couple guests here. There's a gentleman that we're calling Alan. That's not his real name. And we also have Elaine and Ken. Say hello.
Hello.
The person we call Alan is not his real name. He waved. Ken, you've also got to say hello.
Hi.
Okay, so we are talking resurrection. Bum, bum, bum. Ba-da-da-da. Anastasis. We are talking about that because we're observing, obviously, Holy Week, church worldwide observing Holy Week. And if you don't know what that is, we can just simply say it is a time set apart, and that's partly what holy means, set apart for a time of sacred reflection and worship. And so that you might hear things like Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday or a Tenebrae service, a Good Friday service, Saturday Vigil, then you've got Easter Sunday. We can talk about a whole history of why it's called Easter Sunday, but it's known as the Feast of the Resurrection. Pastor Emma, tell us, how have you experienced resurrection in your life? Actually, she can't do that. That's a preview for the Easter sunrise service at 6 a.m., which we'll see you at the Riverfront Hair Pavilion. You can 321 Justison Street for your GPS needs. But Pastor Emma, tell us, what is resurrection?
So resurrection is this idea that we embrace in the life of faith, that the end of our life is not actually the end of our life. And it is a messy sort of concept because there's a bus. because there is the idea of, well, if you died, you really stay dead. Is it a zombie sort of thing? What actually happens? And in some ways, resurrection is one of those things that, while it's present in a lot of different faiths and a lot of different religions, the way we understand it makes it a little bit more complicated but really beautiful, in that we worship a Savior that could not be held down by death, by grief, by any of those things that hold down our mortal bodies and keep us from fully understanding. Resurrection is that way that Christ physically came to the disciples but also is present in each one of us. Past his death, past the grief and the fear and all the things that we experience.
Pastor Emma, I'm so glad that you brought up death, because you'd have to ask the question to answer, what is resurrection? You say, well, resurrection from what? From being dead. And what's interesting is world history, human history, different cultures, different religions have had all sorts of ideas about what happens when we die. We can see, ideas about the afterlife. You can see that in Egyptian culture. They had a pretty developed and sophisticated view of life after death. You can see that by the pyramids and the way that... pharaohs were buried or buried, depending on how you pronounce that, buried with their treasures. You can also, going way, way back, we have evidence of Neanderthals burying each other and recognizing that there's some kind of importance ritualistically recognizing marking death. So we have all sorts of ways that cultures have recognized this. And what's interesting is in the Jewish culture, and that we inherit that theology and understandings in many ways that shaped the early Christians, of course, in Jewish thought or Hebrew thought or children of Israel thought, right, depending on the period, you see different developments of what it meant to die and what it meant, what life after death would have meant. So, Pastor Emma, do you remember those times in the scriptures where they're carrying the bones of the ancestors? And why would that have been important?
So that's important because they are carrying that part of their story with them and saying, like, the stories that our ancestors lived into and the stories that they carried are so important that we have to have these things we know now as relics to say this story was true and we can prove it because here is this thing that we have. And there's still different religions and different faiths that practice that today. You can go to churches and lots of places and they'll say, oh, this is the bones of St. Peter, this is the bones of whoever. And it's to say that these people really were, and we can prove it. And the thing about resurrection, in some ways, is it's that unprovable nature of faith, that amazing, incredible, bigger than we can possibly imagine part of faith.
So it's not only in a sense that this relic embodies, in some ways, their memory, but it's also a way of memorializing their legacy, right? So there's a sense in which life after death, in that context, was your legacy. Part of that would have been recognized, but okay, we remember you in this way, but it also would have been your children.
Mm-hmm.
It would have also been the lands you left behind.
Right.
It would have been your right standing with the community, so your righteousness or the fact that stories were told about you. And we see this around the world. Cultures talk about this. You know, there's a quote. It's like, those never die whose names are always on someone's lips, or, you know, something like that, right?
Yeah.
The idea, and you get this, like, what was that movie? Coco, right?
Yeah.
Day of the Dead, right? This is a part. So it's been across the world, the idea of how we remember, your legacy, how we carry on, how we inherit, or our descendants take on at traits of ourselves, right? So there was always this understanding of life after death in some aspect. I think what is so fascinating about Christianity, and here I'm borrowing from N.T. Wright, who we've been talking about a lot this evening, he loves to describe it as life after death. So he's not so much interested in describing the life simply that we live when after we die. He's like, listen, all cultures have some kind of viewpoint on that, and to some degree. He's talking about, no. We're talking about restored life, glorified life, a new heaven, new earth that the Bible bears witness to. We're talking about, the injustices of the world made right. We're talking about love and mercy embodied. We're talking about we get restored as co-gardeners, in a sense, with God, and to help... to help govern and take care of the earth, as was the original call in the Garden of Eden. So this idea of resurrection in N.T. Wright, as he describes it, and he's not the only one, but he's obviously popularized it, is that there is a flourishing, an abundance, a justice that God is seeking in resurrection that's not just about the end of our lives, but it's also about a restoration and almost a change. It's like a change. It's a... almost like a time travel kind of thing, where all of history gets affected by the fulfillment of the God's kingdom come that we pray for, right, in the Lord's Prayer. So resurrection is more than just zombies, you know, people coming, out of the ground, or, you know, kind of rising. There's a restoration. There's a new life. There's a glorification. Paul describes it as our corrupt bodies take on incorruptible flesh, right? And so, but also, it's not just about that. It's not just, hey, you get to live, don't worry, don't be afraid, you get to be immortal. It's, no, but the whole world, suddenly the veil gets lifted off. The thing that separates us from one another, we are reconciled fully with one another and with the world and with the creation. C.S. Lewis has this beautiful parts in Weight of Glory and other places where, in book Miracles and all these things, where it seems like, hey, you know, we always feel like outsiders to creation, partly because of fallenness. And resurrection is the new body, the new heaven, the new earth, God's kingdom come, things restored and glorified. Now, that sets us up, right, for Easter Sunday. So tell us what happens Easter Sunday, Pastor Em.
So on Easter Sunday, we remember not only Christ's resurrection, but we also remember the life and the death, because the idea of resurrection happens to me in the fullness of all of that. We don't get to appreciate the violent death, but then the amazing resurrection that Christ experienced, if we don't know the stories that he shared with his disciples, the meals, the ways that he was rejected and hurt by other people. So on Easter Sunday, many times people gather in places of loss and of death, and when the sun is just coming up, to say, in the realness of being fully human, we know that there's pain and loss and suffering. We know that Jesus felt all of those things, felt rejection, and yet, And yet that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is love and saving grace and that power of God to do the amazing that we cannot do ourselves, to live and to die and to rise again for the forgiveness of our sins so that we can live more fully into the lives that we need to be living. So that's kind of how I experience Easter.
Well, that was beautiful. You just preached a sermon. Thanks. I have to follow that up. Appreciate it. Yes. And you know, the Greek is like Anastasis. And if you're a Greek expert, correct me and write comments on Facebook. But I believe it's Anastasis or Anastasia. And that means arising or, you know, and what I love about that is it's like, If you put that in the context of Jesus telling all these people who were once lame or who once, you know, were lying down sick or were dead, right, where he tells the girl Talitha Kumi, right, in the Aramaic, and he says, rise, right? So we see these glimpses of resurrection with her. We see it in Lazarus, mm-hmm. and where Jesus even says, I am Anastasis. I am the resurrection, and I am Zoe. I am life. And not bios, which is where we get biology from and life and how we're teeming with life, but Zoe, like, you know, that's the good life. Like, you know, hey, lemonade on a hammock on a cool summer day with a cool summer breeze, that's the life. And Jesus is saying, I'm that. I'm like what makes life life and makes it worth living, right? So it says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Those are all foreshadowing glimpses of Jesus' own resurrection. And it's really interesting. Because people, and there's, listen, this is not to be judgmental, not to say, you're wrong, get it right. But it is incredible how easily it's become a part of our lexicon or, you know, just a part of our vocabulary that people say, Jesus rose from the dead, right? Mm-hmm. Which is not like, it's not like completely wrong. But what's interesting is the New Testament bears witness to it consistently, never not does this, says, God raised Jesus from the dead, mm-hmm. or Jesus was raised,
right.
Which is always interesting because it always seems to give, again, the power of the triune God, mm-hmm. that there's never a moment where Jesus is like, well, I'll take care of this. It's like, it always seems that Jesus submits to God and God glorifies Jesus. Jesus, maybe that's a better word, but Jesus glorifies God. God glorifies Jesus. They glorify the Spirit. The Spirit glorifies them. And the triune God is made manifest. And so what I find beautiful is that not only do you see the triune God at work in this, mm-hmm. And again, we've got to say also total mystery. We don't know, like, I don't know how many times have you seen anybody rise from the dead. I've never seen it. I have met two people in my life. I've been, and they are a gift in my life, who were clinically dead and then came back to life. That is not what resurrection is, actually. So people think resurrection is resuscitation. That's two different things. Resuscitation, you were dead. You've been brought back to life because there was still blood running and da-da-da-da-da. No, this is... You are dead. You know, Alan, who we call Alan, the Bible study talks about there's dead, dead, dead. And Jesus was dead, crucified, dead, buried. And on the third day, just in case you thought he wasn't dead, three times, dead. Resurrection, not resuscitation. So it's total mystery. How does this happen? Why did it happen in this way? What's going on? But it is certainly more than, not only, like I started off saying, N.T. Wright's point that it's not just life after death. It's life after death. But also, it's more than, you know, people use this example, and I love it. Listen, if you're going to use this for your children's sermon, great. Knock yourself out. It's a way to begin to understand. But it is not the same thing as I plant a seed in the ground, and then a flower comes out, and then it dies, but then in the spring comes, and it comes back to life. That's also not the same thing, because the seed is meant to do that.
Right.
Human beings are not. We're not meant to die and rise again. It seems that resurrection is this glimpse that we get in Jesus, and we see it in Lazarus and the young girl, the glimpse of what creation was meant to be and will be again by God's grace, by the power of the Spirit through Christ. And it's offered in us, which means it is new life. It's not life again. It's new life. And I would be lying to you if I was like, and by the way, Pastor Emma and I are going to explain that all to you. We there's such a newness that even Paul wrestles with, how do I explain this? There's this groaning in creation, and it groans for the redeemed people of God, right? To finally the coming day when the kingdom's restored. I mean, it's so hard. You can almost only use poetry or silence to sort of describe. We can't describe to you what is that new life, but I know Paul is emphatic about it because he says all those who are in Christ, and if you read the Greek, it doesn't go for all those who are in Christ, you are now a new creation, all the things have passed and all the things are new. No, he makes these grammatical stops. In Christ, new creation. Like, it's just this boom, mic drop, new creation. What in the world does that mean? He doesn't mean recreation. Mm-hmm. We're not recreated. And we're not resuscitated, and we're not the flower that died and then we come back to life. No, it's new. Somehow, again, it is new, and yet it restores. And so I don't know how to put those two together, because there's a sense in which there's restoration of the original garden, right? Of the things we've lost, of the brokenness, right? There's a restoration. And at the same time, it seems like, but then there's also a total new creation. But I leave it in God's hands, because only God can do new things, right? I don't know. Behold, I am doing a new thing. What does that look like? God alone can make something new even out of something old, and it be called new creation. So resurrection certainly is, I think, a glimpse into new creation.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Riverfront Church Broadcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook. Just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.